one. Welcome all. Step right up. Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 72, is on its way. Howdy, everybody. Portal Gaming Podcast is a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, or you can tweet me, your host, The Brant. I am at PortalGaming60. Howdy, everybody. Excited to have you along. On this episode, I have with me my co-host,
Kathy.
And Kathy is here to run us through this episode. This episode is going to be, well, I guess you don't know everything about women then. We're going to talk about hobbies and other things we do outside of board gaming. So that'll be our little discussion, although we'll wrap it back around with a little game we got to play called Drop Mix that we want to talk about. So we'll end the episode with that. Whew, it has been exhausting. Went to PAX, came back, did the Thanksgiving thing, and life has just been so busy. Brian and I have not been able to coordinate for an episode. Kathy graciously offered to do an episode here with me, and then my job has just been kicking me in the teeth, and just we've had crazy busy nights and have not been able to do an episode. This one's probably going to be on the shorter end since we're doing this late on a school night, if you will, but we definitely wanted to get an episode out, so maybe I can have Kathy come back again soon and do another episode with me. She's smiling at me. She's not sure. She likes playing games and minorly enjoys talking about playing games. But yeah, life has just been crazy. So excuse us if the content is a little low in this season. But I would imagine post-Christmas especially, I'll play a whole bunch of games, have some time off, and have a whole lot to talk about. So that should work. Although I've been playing a decent number of games.
Yeah.
As of late, so. How are you doing, Kath?
Pretty good. Been a long day for me, too.
Yeah.
Long day of work.
We're going to do the Rotto Gen thing here, and I'm gonna handle a good amount of the talking, and Kath is going to wrap herself in a blanket on the couch and just sit back and do that. And that's no offense to Rotto or Jen there, but that's what they do. Rotto runs the whole thing, and Jen sits with her laptop and comments on things during the episode. So when they do that, so we're gonna let Kathy sit back a little bit and just relax. She was working till 8 o'clock this evening, and then came home to do some more work, and then I bugged her to do the podcast. So it's been a long day. So thank you, Kathy.
Yes.
Awesome. How is your holiday season going? How's all that? How are you feeling about Christmas time?
I don't feel like I've paid attention to Christmas yet. And it's worrying me a little, but I think it's going to be good regardless.
Yeah, let's see. Well, December 6th, we're no tree, no decorations. You've done some shopping. I've done a significant amount
You've
of shopping.
You've done a lot of shopping.
Yeah. So all those kind of things.
Yeah.
But on the reverse end of that, since this is a podcast about the store... The store is wonderful. I have been there. The shelves are bustling full of things, which I don't think makes sense.
Nope.
There's all sorts of stuff up. They've got the trains running every week. They've got Santa coming this weekend.
Nice.
They've got activities. They've got crafts going on. Like, it is in full swing. So definitely get yourself there, both to the Portal and the Time Machine. You know, especially you got nephews, nieces, kids, whatever, you're a kid at heart, get yourself to the toy store. It's quite impressive right now, so definitely want to check out both the Time Machine and the Portal. If you are in the southern New England area, I suppose, if you're passing through, then definitely check it out if you haven't been there, because it's awesome and whatnot. So all those things are going on. Silk City Board Game Group is happening December 9th. That's going to be 12 to 4:30. At the Manchester Library. Jen runs that, and you can find them on Facebook and find all the games that she's running there. I know that Raiders of the North Sea is one of them, the new Renegade game that's coming out. So she's going to have that and a bunch of others. So they do an awesome job there, so definitely check that out if you can. We're just going to jump right in. We're going to go straight to games played. And this is going back a little bit for Kathy here. Because there's just some stuff like pre when I went to PAX Unplugged and all that. So we're going to start with Ex Libris.
Yes.
So Ex Libris is a light, medium light, worker placement game, set collection game, tableau builder from Renegade Games. Although I named all those things, but they're all very light. It's a light worker placement, it's a light set collection, and it's a light... I guess it's not light set collection, and it's a light tableau builder. so that's what this game is, set in a fantasy library. You've got various fantasy characters that you can play as kind of the leader of your gnomes, working in your library to assemble and organize your books as you go out and collect various books. And so in each game, there's going to be a banned book, so there'll be a style of book that is banned. There'll be a favored book of your choice for your library, and then there's a certain type that everybody's looking to collect, in terms of that. So that's kind of what happens. Then you collect these cards that have multiple books of them from multiple, what would you call these, categories?
Yeah,
they're like categories. And
genres,
perfect. And through worker placement, you collect these books in various ways. There's these tiles that come out and rotate through, and it might say, you know, draw two cards, pick one, put the other one here, and somebody can draw that card later, or something like that. There's all these different little mechanisms that happen. So we got a chance to play this. I think I commented on Ex Libris. I like it. I think it's good, not great, and whatnot. But what did you think, Kathy?
I think my favorite part of it was I liked all the different characters you could choose, and they all had their own little wooden figure that was fun, which is a silly thing for it to be my favorite part. So it was okay. It was a good enough game.
I feel like you're lying, because I think your favorite part is organizing all the books. Or did that feel too gamey and not, like, actually organizing your collection? Because you love to organize.
I do love to organize, but it wasn't... I don't know. It didn't feel like I was organizing, really, when I was playing.
It's interesting, because now hearing your thoughts, you sound more like how I felt about the game. But when we played it, I remember you really enjoying it. In fact, you wanted me to keep the demo copy longer so we could play again. But alas, I brought it back to the store. As a responsible person would do.
I don't really remember it super well. So I guess the part I remember the most is all the fun characters.
Yeah. So I definitely think the theme is pretty key here. The characters are fun and you get little extra abilities. The tiles are neat. And, you know, the puzzle of organizing all the books is really cool. But I think that's, you know, something that thematically really have to fall in. The mechanisms... I think sound really good, and then when you actually play them out, they're kind of like, there's kind of some obvious choices, and you draw books that you can't shelve. I mean, you had the wizards, I think, or something, who could actually move their books, so you could shelve anything. You could, like, slide your books over to be able to do things.
Yeah.
So you never really stuck, whereas I can't remember my power, but mine was like, if I go on a space and somebody else goes there, I draw a card from their hand or something, which is cool, but... didn't help me to shelve my own, you know, books and whatnot.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, there's all sorts of types of scoring in the game, so I definitely think it's a try before you buy, because I know a lot of people really like this game. A lot of people complain about the small text on the cards, and it's a super huge pain. It was a terrible choice, but it's not a detractor from the game. It's not enough like, oh, I'm not going to play this game because the text is too small. I mean, obviously, if you need glasses to read it and you don't have them available, then you can't play the game, but... It was a strange choice for a company like Renegade, who just hits everything out of the park all the time. But, you know, they're starting to be a major player, which means they're releasing a lot of titles. And so when you start releasing a lot of titles, they can't all be home runs. So you start to try to catch by theme and... what is it? Catch as catch can? All right. Not a lot there. Okay, so next up we played High Heavens. I brought this back from PAX Unplugged. This is from a small publisher. In fact, I wish I remembered their name, but I don't. And so this is a two-player kind of arena battle game, if you will, with minis. And it is Mount Olympus versus Asgard. And so you've got the Roman gods. Greek gods?
Greek gods.
Greek gods. versus the gods of Norse, the Norse gods. And so you have a deck of cards. Each player has a deck of cards, and that deck includes the various minis. What did you say? You got about 12 per side, 10 yeah. to 12 per side, and various other action cards. This round, all Norse gods get +2 to attack. This round, you can place a trap token on the board and somebody can't move. Whatever it is, these kind of things. Very minis-based, very, you know, Warhammer-esque, not epic in scale. But probably the best aesthetic to this is those little rings. Can you tell us about those rings?
Yes. So your health trackers are actually plastic rings that stack under each character. So you can actually visually see the health of your character by how tall it is. And as it gains or loses health, you add more rings or take them away. So that was a new and different element that was kind of fun.
And it sounds so dumb, but then you see it and it looks so cool.
Yeah, and it's just, it's nice to have a neat little tracking. It's just very visual and...
Yeah. And they lock super well. They're kind of poker chip size. But they didn't do poker chips.
Right.
They did these, like, locking rings yeah. that are great. They stack super well. They're really sturdy.
Yep.
And it's cool when you pull out Odin and you stack 14 chips under him because his health is 14. Like, he's just super tall.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, that must be the leader, right? Like,
right.
You know who they are. Also, there's other chips in there. There's chips for, like, poison damage. There's chips for armor. There's chips for, like, strength bonuses. So the combat... And the game is really straightforward. It's just, I do 3 damage, and so you take 3 damage, and I remove 3 of those rings. If you have armor, then I subtract 1. If you have 2 armor, then I subtract 2.
Right.
And each player has 3 action points. So action points can be play a card, which includes summoning a new god to your side of the battlefield, moving someone, attacking with someone, or just some other action that they might have. So what's neat, what makes the game really different, is unlike chess, where both players start with all their pieces set up, you draw cards out of your deck, and those are the starting gods that you have. So it's going to change up the game every time. And then the goal is to eliminate the other person's base by going over, or whatever, is that called a base? Whatever it would be.
Your...
Heaven tile, I don't know,
yeah.
whatever it is. And you got to beat the thing down, it's got 30 health. This was such a surprise hit for us. Like... an absolute out of nowhere,
yeah.
super fun game. What do you think about it? It was just like so exciting.
I think that you hit the timing really well for me because I just finished reading a series of books that featured all the Greek gods.
Gotcha.
And so I just finished reading about all of them and then I got to play them as characters. So I think that the timing was just good for that as far as that goes.
Nice. Yeah, and then gameplay-wise, I just love that, like, there's no dice, there's no randomness to the attack, you just know exactly what you're going to do, and since you know what the opponent can do, you have to plan against that. Like,
yeah.
Okay, on my turn, if I don't want them to just take their 3 actions and just hack my person down, then I need to do something to prevent that.
Yeah.
And so it really puts in those, like, tactical pieces that are really fun. Now, I thought that the length of the game was going to be a big deal, because the first time we played, we didn't quite finish, and it was like 45, 50 minutes, and we hadn't even like started attacking each other's base. But then the last time we played, I kind of like ran straight for you, did a whole bunch of damage, and then you kind of like came back and beat me. And that whole game was maybe 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So it is pretty quick to play.
Yeah.
So do you think that we'll pull this out to play more often?
I kind of see it as an every once in a while game, I would think. I think it would get old if we played it over and over again.
Now, we won't necessarily get them, but they do have Egyptian gods and something else that I can't remember. Expansion
yeah.
in there. So that's cool to kind of mix that up.
It's also nice that it's 2-player, so it's easier to pull out randomly.
But that's an interesting question. So there's so many 2-player heads-up battle games. So, like, why would this make it into our rotation of 2-player heads-up battle games?
It's a good question. I don't know. It's pretty straightforward. It's different.
Would you play this instead of Ashes?
I think I like Ashes better.
Okay. But you'd play it sometimes instead of Ashes to change things up?
Sure.
Would you play it instead of Star Wars LCG?
Yes.
Would you play it instead of Seven Wonders Duel?
Ooh. I like Seven Wonders Duel better.
Yeah. So those are just some examples of different things we have had. You know, we play Roll for the Galaxy sometimes too, but that's not like a heads-up two-player game, but I'm just thinking of some of those things. So, yeah, I think for us, it's somewhat a niche we don't have. We don't have, like, a minis game that we play two-player right. with us. There's a couple, Warhammer Shadespire is one of those games that I've just had to, like, avoid, because I think that'd be so cool, and it's one of these two-player mini-style games. But we don't really have that, whereas a lot of people might have those.
Right.
Our minis game, I guess, is Gloomhaven, but that's a whole different ball of wax, and it's cooperative, so...
Yeah.
So there's that. Yeah, so I really think this is a cool game. We're considering getting some copies into the store, so you have to keep a heads up there. I think High Heavens is really cool. I don't know the price point on the game, so that could matter for people, but I feel like I would play it. I would switch it up, and I like that you're going to draw that hand. So yeah, okay, I'm playing this group of people, but I don't have the same ones every single time.
Right.
With Ashes, we have like, because now we have like 8 decks. So you can cycle through those and whatnot, but there's that. Cool. High Heavens. All right, next up is Hero Realms. So Hero Realms is White Wizard's retake, I suppose, on Star Realms, which is their kind of small box deck building game. And so Hero Realms, they just kind of reformatted. They just switched things over. Instead of getting starships that fight each other, they got heroes and classic fantasy characters. And whatnot. Now, I've got the Hero Realms base set. I've got the Ruins of Thandar cooperative adventure. And I've got the character packs. And all this was given to us at PAX Unplugged for demo and review, which is awesome. So we thank White Wizard for that. And I've gotten a chance to play the solo a whole bunch. And we got a chance to play the competitive game one time. So how do you feel about deck builders in general first?
I think they're okay. Yeah. I think it's not my go-to first choice style of game, but I like them.
What are some deck builders you've played in the past, just so people know?
I mean, Dominion is an obvious first one. Heart of Crown.
Mm-hmm.
What's that one called?
Clank?
No. Starts with an A. Ascension?
Oh, Ascension, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of those are kind of the old school ones now, too.
Yeah.
Tyrants of the Undark, I'd really want to play that with you sometime.
Alright.
Cool. So, Hero Realms, the different heroes, it's straight up head-to-head because as you play cards, you damage the other player. And if you get their health to zero, that's how you win. So that's kind of what's happening along the way. So how did you feel about Hero Realms?
I liked it. I thought it was alright. I didn't love it. I'm not dying to play it again.
Yeah. Did you feel like the gameplay was smooth?
I don't remember.
Bear with her. She worked all day, a long day. I feel like you have a lot less energy than you normally do. So I feel like that's what I really like about it. It's just so smooth. It's just like once you know the symbols, you're just like, oh, I'm going to buy that and that and that. And then I'm going to attack you for 3. And it's almost like I'm shuffling and playing out my next hand as you're finishing up yours. And we're just going back and forth. Now, the key to the game, I think, is those character packs. I think those make all the difference in the world. And you didn't get to, you've only played with one character.
Yeah.
But playing with different ones. So that really changes up your starting deck. It changes up, like, abilities that you have. Because now you have, like, a one-shot ability or an ever-turn ability. I know that in ours, I was the wizard and it was like, I was the fighter and I could buy damage. And you could buy, like, looking at your deck. And we felt like those weren't equivalent.
Yeah, that didn't feel balanced at all.
It was like you had to figure out how to cycle the right cards through your deck, so you were cycling through faster to get to those higher damage, almost like kind of for free, but straight up just buying damage, you know, just that seemed a little different. So we weren't sure on the balance there. I could say playing the solo, I've absolutely loved it. If there's one negative to me on that solo or that cooperative piece is like, there's three stories in the box, and I guess the whole arc is like 9 stories or something. And so they have all these things for your character to level up, and it's so cool, but you never actually get a lot of them. Like, oh, you get one perk, and then you get one item, and then you get a perk, but you can't use it because now you have to wait for the next story. And I felt like at least if they put in the box what you could get or some way to keep playing, like, oh, pause your adventure here, but you could keep playing like this, which I guess you could. You could just make decks leveled up and fight each other. I think that option might be in there. But I really, really am enjoying Hero Realms. And I feel like I've cooled on deck builders. I've enjoyed some of the ones more that you can do other things, you know, on a board and whatnot, but I really enjoyed that Hero Realm. So maybe we'll get a chance to play the co-op and see or try some of the different character packs. You'd play it again?
Yeah.
It's like 25, 30 minutes to player, so it's pretty short, yeah. But I feel like that smoothness of gameplay. All right, last one. I think this is our favorite of the bunch, but I don't know. Most of your I probably thought you liked Dex Libris, and then you're like, eh. And then it's like, oh, I think she likes High Heavens, and you're like, yeah, I'd play it every now and then, so maybe I misread from what I was seeing. I guess you enjoyed High Heavens in terms of the theme, like you said.
Yeah, I think that was, part of the biggest.
Cool. So the last one we played is Civilization: A New Dawn. This is from Fantasy Flight Games. Just came out. So this is their new take on a Civ game. And so there's been Sid Meier's Civilization, the big epic, like 2 to 4 hour, probably 3 to 4 hour game that they made, an advanced Civilization from Avalon Hill back in the day, and then of course all the Sid Meier's Civilization computer games that have come out. So this one is definitely streamlined. They definitely removed a lot of elements that are in the computer game and in the previous game, and they would seem like they're trying to make a package that's about 30 minutes per player. And so our first game, we messed up some rules, and of course you got to read a lot of cards and reference things. So we probably ran closer to the 2 hour range in that first game that we played. Then the second time I timed us, and from when we started, it was 75 minutes. So we were just over the half hour per player mark, which seems about, I mean, an hour 15 with two is fine. I think 2 hours and 15 minutes with four players would not be bad either. So it feels very streamlined. It feels like they're trying to make a school night game, a game that you could decide to play on a night when you only have an hour or two. And it's very much, almost very much, nope, a medium Euro. Like, even on the lighter side, once you get it. It's like at first there's some learning curve, and then once you get it and you know all of your actions and choices, it's pretty easy to decide what you're going to do in terms of that through five. And so if you take that one on the far right, it'll be like the most powerful of that. So the various actions are you can build new cities, you can gain tech points, you can place these like control markers down, you can move your caravans, and I can't remember. Oh, attack. You can attack other players or barbarians on the map. So that's the basic structure of kind of the game, and I would say that mechanism runs pretty much the whole game, would you say?
Yeah.
That's like the big piece of it. So then this map is there, and it's totally important, but it's almost like superfluous to playing those cards, that whole system and figuring out where they go. I mean, it's not. It just feels like that engine is so important of what you're doing, and then you're trying to put the pieces out. So winning the game is there's 5 victory cards. You play with 3 in any given game, and they have a top and a bottom. And as soon as you achieve either the top or the bottom on each one, on all 3, excuse me, then you win. So you have to do something on all of them. And you can build wonders in the game. So you build wonders and add them to your city, and then your cities can be fortified with these control markers. So you're trying to surround your city with control markers, which makes it mature. So it'll produce goods for you, and trade goods basically give you like a bonus action in any of those. Or you're trying to flip them over to fortify so they protect when you're attacking each other. So That's the basic gist of the game. We're not going to go into the whole thing, but I think we both felt really good about Civilization. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Do you remember any particulars of any sort that you liked, or a piece that was interesting to you? Or different?
I liked that all of the actions were available all the time.
Yeah, that was neat.
With different strength. And
teching up is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So as you gain tech points, you get the ability to unlock new cards. So you swap those cards out for better cards. But sometimes you lose an ability. Like, you gain a better ability, but lose an ability that you had. Like, oh, in this one, you can build cities where your caravans are. But suddenly that disappears.
Right.
At a point, which was interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
So it had those elements. And eventually you get the ability to, like, cross water and cross other types of terrain and break a lot of rules that were earlier in the game. So you definitely get that feeling.
And the wonders give you different abilities, too.
Yeah.
Which I feel like we barely even gone through a lot of those, so.
Yeah, it was interesting. So I taught this at the store, and a four-player game was played, and they flew through it. Like, it was like an hour and 45 minutes. They flew through. I think there were a couple, like they started just attacking each other like crazy and not realizing, like, because you could attack, when you get that top card, you could attack three times. So I think somebody just, like, attacked and took over three people's cities and won the game. Like, it was over. So that seemed like a big deal. So people started to realize, oh, you really have to, like, fortify your cities so that they're not just a sitting duck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that piece was interesting there. But, yeah, it's neat. I really want to go back and play the old Civ game because I feel like that one just had so much more with religion that you can choose, and I guess that still had technology of the same sort, but it was like you really had to work towards the technology, not just kind of gain it, but gain it in a certain way. Collect all these culture points and historical figures. This really removed all of that that's in the other game.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. But again, that game, two player probably ran 3 hours. Multiple players could probably run 5 hours or so, whereas this one's going to run you two. So they're kind of accomplishing different goals. Obviously, FFG is using that Civilization name to help sell the game with the IP. And it still feels like a Civilization-type game. They had a lot of those elements in there. That was different. Cool. Any more comments on Civilization? A New Dawn.
I liked it a lot, and I would play it more.
Awesome. I think that's it for games that we've played. That's what's on our table, so let us know what's on yours. All right, so just for a fun discussion topic today, to switch gears up a little bit, I just thought we'd talk about other hobbies of ours. In addition to playing board games, teaching board games, demoing board games, and board games, stacking board games, my other hobby is, I guess I play Ultimate Frisbee a whole bunch. So I enjoy Ultimate Frisbee and now Frisbee Golf. So I go out and there's courses around the area. There's actually one that's like 5 minutes from the store that you could play at and whatnot. So that is something else I enjoy. I guess I like the outside aspect of that. It's nice to have a hobby that's outside when board gaming is so inside. The few times that Zephyr's been like, let's play a game outside, it fails miserably. Like, inevitably there's wind or rain or water or tilting of a board, like, it just doesn't work. Like, it's just not an outdoor hobby. Don't force it to be an outdoor hobby. Just play something else outside. Meant for outside is kind of where that is. So what other things do you like to do?
Do I like to do?
Yeah.
Oh, I have lots of hobbies. I like to craft things. So whether it's woodwork or paper or yarn, I crochet. I've been experimenting with various art forms and painting as well lately too. I do lots of things like that.
Carpentry,
yes.
Built me some shelves.
I did.
And just fixing stuff around the house.
Yeah.
Is all you.
Yes.
With all those kind of things, so there's that. But we have one in common.
We do.
Music.
Yes.
So we both really enjoy listening to music. We enjoy playing music. We used to enjoy writing music. We haven't written in a while, but
it's been a long time.
Write a bunch of music. So I think that's probably that's the most important hobby to me outside of board gaming, I think. And we play regularly.
Yes.
So I don't know if we're in a band or not.
We are.
We're in a band, but we play Sunday mornings at our church. And it's a rock and roll style band. Just to be clear on that. So you sing and play alternate percussion?
Yes, I do.
And I play bass. Do I play drums?
You are learning how to play drums.
Oh, that's so nice. That's such a nice way to say it. I do. I have a drum kit in the basement, so.
You also play guitar and piano.
Yes. Yeah. So that's something that we really enjoy and we enjoy doing together. And I've played in that band for 16 years.
Me too.
And so that's been really fun. So music is a big part of what we do. But I think in addition to playing music, we're just silly, like, put stuff on around the house and dance around.
Yep.
And just listening to a lot of music a lot of times, especially if it's just us, I'll put on a list of music and we'll just listen. Or cook to music.
Yes.
Or other things like that. So I think also listening to music. But it's probably 50-50 split at this point. I feel like I used to listen to a lot more music and not play as much. And now I play a lot and don't listen quite as much. How about Christmas music? Do we like Christmas music?
We do.
We do like Christmas music. John Denver and the Muppets.
Nice.
Is excellent.
Yeah.
Cool. So we got a chance to play a game recently. We could wrap this back around.
Yes.
So this game is supposed to be your Christmas present.
It was.
So I don't know if anybody else is out there is like me, but like I get all these presents and then odds are people know what they're getting prior to me even, prior to Christmas. They find out what their gifts are.
Yes.
So you were out the other night, you took Zephyr to a ballet.
Yes, we went to a ballet.
And I had some friends over and I was like, I gotta show you this thing that I got for my family. And so I broke it out and we made sure the batteries worked. And just that it would run and that we had the right app and that we were at the right version and all those kind of things. And then we just tested it to make sure it was working for half hour. And then you came home. So we packed it up. You put our daughter to bed. And then I said, oh, they all were like, you got to get it out and just give it to Kathy now. So I gave you that. We're also giving it to Zephyr though. So
that's true.
Coming back out for Christmas. So this game is called Drop Mix. And I know a lot of even podcasts have talked about it, so if you're listening to board game podcasts.
It's super fun.
Apparently there's a game there. We haven't played the game. So we'll have to see how the game goes, but it doesn't matter. So what Drop Mix does is you've got a whole... let's back up. You've got a board, a piece, a plastic shelf piece unit. Oh, man. That's like Bluetooth.
It's an electronic board.
There you go. And it connects to your phone. And then I had my phone connected to a speaker. Because you gotta have, like, significant sound.
Yes.
You can't have a little dinky sound. The game will never work. And then you got a whole bunch of cards. And so you go, and the cards represent different tracks or parts of pop music, for the most part. There are different styles, but just popular music in general. And so you can throw down the drum line of Radioactive, and you can have the synth or the strings from Call Me Maybe, but meanwhile, like, Outkast is singing.
Yeah.
And all these kind of things. And you can put all the pieces together, and you can slow the beat down and pick the beat up. You can change keys. And you can just keep going and going and going. And you just have, like, near to infinite combos, which is not true, but many. Sixty choose five, I suppose, is really where it's at, because that's very probability oriented. But because there's 60 cards in the box and you have five on the board at a time, although then you could have options of others, so that's even more than that. What makes this so cool? Why was this so exciting to us?
I don't know. It was just it was so fun. There were four of us. We each had this, like, pile of cards in front of us that ended up just all spread out. So there's just this whole mess of cards on the table. And the sound keeps going. So we were all just taking, at first, we were taking turns putting cards on and taking them off and seeing how we could change the song up. And then we were all just kind of free for all, making it. Because the sound happens as soon as you lay the card down on the little platform. So it was really fun figuring out the different sounds we could make and how different songs mix together.
Yeah, and even just like throwing up a whole bunch of beats and having them mix together, or throwing up a whole bunch of vocal tracks, like all singing one over the other, but they just mesh really well, like the way they did it. Like the technology here is awesome. It's
It is
great
so
technology,
impressive.
super accessible. You know, it just reminds me of what Apple did when Apple died and then came back. Like they just created products that are super accessible, super friendly, you know, very intuitive and very engaging. And that's
Yes.
definitely what this is. So it's definitely an activity what we were doing. It is not a game, but there is a game. We just didn't read the rules because we were also musically focused. That we were interested in just finding all the different beats and things. But we played for 50 minutes straight, no idea that that kind of time was passing.
Yeah,
Like,
that is true.
we didn't even look. And so then there are more cards, and apparently there's copies over at the time machine of this. It is a rather expensive piece of equipment, so, you know, it's or slightly more expensive, I should say. But yeah, if you've got people that love music and you can go seek out some of these other packs and things like, and it just, yeah, the possibilities where they're gonna go with this and what they could add. I mean, I can really see them creating a library of, you know, 500 to 1,000 songs, and you could just have everything for
Yeah,
everybody.
that would be amazing.
And yeah. So our next step is to hook this up to a big pair of speakers and just get it going. Like,
Yeah.
bring it somewhere where there's like a sound system, like
Yep.
at our church, and really,
Right.
really check this thing out when you've got like really awesome sound, you could dance and everything. So, but yeah, we just had a super fun time with Drop Mix and thought that played into our other hobbies,
Yeah.
our other hobby of music really well. And it's cool to have like music and games together. That's not something, I guess, Encore
Yep.
has always been one of your favorite games where you have to sing the lyrics to other
I
songs,
do like that
and
game.
that is pretty fun. Although it ends up breaking down into an activity, more like a party game, where it's just, can we do it? More than like
Right. That'd be a
rolling the
good
die and all
card
that. Yeah,
game.
it's a great card game. So, cool. All right, well, that's Drop Mix. So definitely, if you get a chance, check it out, because we had a super blast with it, and I think we'll finish up there.
Sounds good.
Awesome. So, that was episode 72. Thanks for listening. I know a little on the shorter side, but we were just glad to get an episode in because it's been so crazy and so hectic. But until next time, I am your host, The Brant, and with me,
Kathy.
and we hope you step into the portal. Portal Game Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on December 6, 2017. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Portal Game Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. For more awesome podcasts, visit www.dicetowernetwork.com. And thanks for listening.